How many of you heard that story in, I can't remember if it was actually America or Canada, but suddenly everybody in a small town became extremely rich. And people didn't get suspicious about what was going on until one day a garage mechanic paid for a brand new house with cash. $50,000. Now, if you'd have been living in that small town and someone had said to you, if you go down to the beach, you will find there is a barrel and it is full of money and it's full of millions and millions of dollars, what would you have done? Would you have said, wonderful, and run down to the beach and stuff your pockets with the money? Or would you have said, I don't believe a word you're saying, that's too good to be true? Well, if you'd have been the doubter, you'd have been the poorer, because it's a true story. And it's thought that there were these large barrels stuffed with millions of dollars that were probably the result of drug smuggling. And the drug smugglers were trying to get their profits from one country into another, and something went wrong. Perhaps the drums dropped over the side of a ship and were washed up onto this beach. Those people that believed did very nicely, thank you very much. Those people that doubted are probably very, very annoyed with themselves. You think perhaps Thomas felt a little bit like those people in that village who said, no, you're having me on. The other disciples had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew he was alive. And when they saw Thomas, they said, Thomas, Jesus is risen from the dead. It's wonderful. And Thomas said, nah, don't believe you. Couldn't happen. But we've seen him, Thomas. Nah, unless I can actually touch him, unless I can actually put my fingers into his wounds, I won't believe anything. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was very kind to Thomas, because the next time he appeared, Thomas was there as well. But you'll notice that what you don't find is that Thomas says, ah, right, now, I want to be sure, let me stick my fingers in. Thomas didn't say that at all. He said that was what he was going to do, but he didn't, did he? Jesus had to say it to him. Come on, Thomas. You were doubting. Here you are, look. Here are my wounds. Put your hands in and see. Touch and feel. It's me. Thomas didn't need to. He'd said that, but when he actually saw Jesus, he realized that he didn't need to do that. When he really met the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew that it was so clear and so obvious. He didn't need to be silly anymore. Are any of us like that? Do we think, well, it says in the Bible Jesus rose from the dead, but do such things really happen? Do people rise from the dead? It's what lots of people say. Perhaps you've seen on the television or read in the newspapers about people that have said that Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. There's lots of people say that. There's famous people say that. Do you think perhaps they're right? I mean, they're famous people after all. Are famous people always right? No, they're not, are they? I can see several heads shaking. You're right. Famous people aren't always right. Sometimes famous people are very wrong. Very sadly, they're very wrong. Because the facts are so clear. We think back to that small town with all that money. The facts were very clear. The people had been and seen it, and they came back and said, there's money there. And people refused to believe them. And it's just the same when it comes to the resurrection. People have seen the Lord Jesus Christ risen from the dead. But they refuse to believe what people say, even though they were there and they have seen it. Now, people cannot discount the fact that the claim was made that Jesus rose from the dead. So they try and get round it in many different ways. There's a very popular theory that says that Jesus didn't really die. So Jesus hung on the cross and, well, he lost a lot of blood and he was very unwell, but when his head dropped, when he cried out, "It is finished," and his head dropped, he wasn't really dead, he just fainted. Anybody here has ever fainted? Don't know what it's like to faint? No, you've never fainted? It's not very nice. I fainted once when I was at school, standing in assembly, and it was getting hotter and hotter and hotter, and I thought, I think I'm going to be sick. And then I just fell over and fell into the person in front of me. People are saying that that's what happened to Jesus. He just collapsed. But he wasn't really dead. But what happened was they took him down from the cross and they bandaged him up from head to foot and laid him in this cold stone tomb and put this enormous stone over the doorway and they put a seal on it and they had a guard there to make sure that nobody took the body. And what the people say that believe that Jesus didn't die was that in the cool of the tomb, having lost an awful lot of blood and being in a complete state of exhaustion, he woke up. And he looked and thought, "I'm all bandaged up. Never mind." And ripped off the bandages. And then he looked up and said, "Oh dear, there's a great big stone in the way. Well, never mind." Woof! And the stone goes flying away. And then there are these Roman soldiers standing there. And so Jesus goes, "Boo!" And they all ran away. And then he went to see his disciples and he said, "Look, I've risen from the dead." Ugh. Now anybody that's got any sense will know that that is extremely silly. A man who has been crucified by the Romans is not going to come back to life. He's not going to be someone that didn't really die and just fainted. The Romans knew how to kill people. They weren't very nice. And they were very good at killing people. And they killed the Lord Jesus. And when you're crucified, you lose a lot of blood. And just to make sure that he was dead, someone stuck a spear into his side. And blood and water poured out. He was definitely dead. Well, some people say, well, what really happened was this, that they put him in a tomb, but they were so sad and upset at what was happening, and their eyes were full of tears, and they went and buried him in this tomb, and when they left, they really didn't know which tomb they put him in. And so when they came back on that first Easter Sunday, well, they looked at all the tombs and they thought, "Oh dear me, which one was it? Perhaps it was this one." And so they walked into the tomb, completely oblivious to the fact that there was no stone, there were no guards, and lo and behold, it was empty. He's risen from the dead. So then what did they do? They went into Jerusalem within a matter of weeks and began to preach, "Jesus Christ has risen from the dead." But if they'd gone to the wrong tomb, why didn't the authorities, who didn't like this, why didn't they say, "But look, the tomb's over here. You went to the wrong one. Look, we'll roll the stone away. Look, there's his rotting body." They didn't do that. Because they didn't go to the wrong tomb, they went to the right tomb. And his body was gone. Ah, yes. They went to the right tomb. No problem there, some people say. But the reason why the tomb was empty was because someone had taken the body away. Like, isn't that what Mary Magdalene thought when she went to the tomb? She thought someone had stolen the body. Well, then we've got to ask the question, who stole the body? Well, if it was Jesus' enemies, why didn't they produce the body when they began to say that Jesus had risen from the dead. They could quite easily say, no, look, here's the body. We took it all the time. Here it is. Silly. Of course that didn't happen.
Ah, yes.
But what really happened was this. The disciples, knowing that Jesus had said he was going to rise from the dead, they went and they stole the body. And then they stood up and said that the Lord Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. I wouldn't worry about it too much, Steve, as long as everyone can cope with the draft. So it was the disciples, people said. That's what we had in one of those readings from Matthew. That the story was put around, the disciples came by night, stole away the body. Can you imagine this small group of disciples, so brave, so strong, so powerful, that when they came and arrested Jesus, they all ran away? Do you think the disciples were so brave, considering they'd run away, that they would come up to the Roman soldiers guarding the tomb, and they would say, come on, out the way, bop, bop, knock them out, toss aside the stone and take the body away? It's silly, isn't it? Disciples, as frightened as they were, wouldn't have gone near the tomb. If they'd have done that, why didn't the authorities arrest them? If they'd have done that, why didn't the authorities crucify them as well? Because they would have had to have broken the Roman seal on the tomb. And that was high treason. You got put to death for that. They didn't. Also, if this was really true, if the disciples had stolen the body, why was it they were prepared to stand up and say, Jesus has risen from the dead, when they knew full well that he hadn't? Why were they prepared to die because they said Jesus had risen from the dead? Why was it they insisted on complete and utter truthfulness if they knew that Jesus had not risen from the dead? It was all based on a lie. They knew it was true. We could look at another part of the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul there gives us a list of all the people who saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. Let me just read it to you. He was seen by Peter, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, as he writes. But some have fallen asleep. Now, if 500 people saw him at once, do you think 500 people could be deceived? Perhaps they had a mass hallucination. They all saw something that wasn't really there. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then, last of all, he was seen by me also, Paul, as by one born out of due time. Now that's very important as well, because Paul hated the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul persecuted the early Christians. Paul had them put into prison. And then one day on the way to Damascus, he met the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And he knew it was true that Jesus had risen from the dead. And he couldn't deny it anymore. He had to say, this is true. It is inescapable. It's clear from all the facts that the Lord Jesus Christ really did rise from the dead. That he was dead when he was crucified, he was laid in a tomb, and 3 days later on that first Easter Sunday, he was alive again. There are still people don't want to believe it. People don't want to believe there are millions of dollars down on the beach. Well, that's very sad for them. They will miss out. People don't want to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That is very, very sad for them. Because Jesus rose from the dead for a very important reason. We were considering on Friday evening about the significance of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. Now, is there any boy or girl here who has ever done anything wrong? Have you ever done anything wrong? Ever? At all? Even once? Yes. You'll notice that the adults don't think they've ever done anything wrong. We've all done things that are wrong, haven't we? Yes, you can put your hands down now. We've all done things that are wrong. And Jesus died to be punished for the things that you have done wrong. Well, then we have an important question. How do we know that Jesus paid all the punishment? How do we know that he's dealt with it all? How do we know there's no punishment left for us? How do we know that? Anyone like to make any suggestions? Yes, mate. He's overcome death. That's right. That's why he rose from the dead. See, death can only hold someone while there is sin to be dealt with, while there is sin to be punished. But because Jesus had dealt with sin, because he had dealt with all the punishment, death couldn't hold him anymore. So he came back to life again. And if Jesus hasn't risen from the dead, sin hasn't been dealt with. Jesus hasn't risen from the dead, we're all wasting our time here this morning. If Jesus is still dead, we are still in our sins. And we're all on our way to a place that God has appointed to punish us. No, the fact that Jesus has been raised from the dead shows us that a way has been opened to God. A way by which we can be forgiven for all the things that we've done wrong. We are now able to come to God and ask him for forgiveness. And we can know that God has forgiven us because of what Jesus has done. Because of what he has done, because he's been raised from the dead, we know that if we believe in him, we too will one day also be raised from the dead. And we know also that one day he will return and judge the world. And he will hold everyone to account and he will say, right, here's the first person. Here are all the things that you did wrong. Now, did you believe in me? And if the answer is yes, they say, right, well, we can ignore all of those sins. But if the next person comes along and he says, right, here's your list of sins. Did you believe in me? And the answer is no. Then the Lord Jesus will say, well, then you must be punished for those sins. Because it's only by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ that we are forgiven for our sins. And that's very important. We must believe. Now we must be clear also on what believing is. We must believe in the way that Thomas did, the way he eventually believed, the way that Paul did, the way that the other disciples believed. See, some people think that believing is merely saying, oh yes, there is such a book as the Bible. There was such a person as Jesus Christ. He died upon the cross. He rose from the dead. Yes, those things are true. That is not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. It's possible for someone to believe everything that the Bible says and yet still go to hell. It says in the New Testament that even the demons believe. Even the devil believes. He knows all these things are true. So just because you acknowledge that what the Bible says is true, just because you acknowledge that Jesus Christ died and rose, you're doing no more than the devil. True belief is more than that. True belief is trusting, depending upon, holding to Jesus Christ and Him alone to be forgiven by God. Some people think that, well, if I try a bit harder, perhaps if I'm a good boy, if I'm a good girl from now on, then I'll be all right. God says, no, you will never be good enough. That's why you must trust in Jesus Christ. You must turn to Him. You must accept Him. You must receive Him. You must surrender your life to Him. And He must become the Lord of your life. And if you do anything less than that, that is not what the Bible means by belief. Now, so let me ask you finally, are you like Thomas, one who once doubted but now believes? Or do you still say, well, it's a nice story, but it's not really true? Time will tell. On the day of judgment, you will discover too late how silly you've been. Is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ a precious thing to you? Or does it fill you with fear? If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it should be a joy to you. If you do not, it should fill you with fear, because it's an assurance of judgment to come. Yet God offers mercy and forgiveness to all of us on that one condition of truly believing, biblically believing, trusting, depending upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that all of you, whether you're young, whether you're old, or whether you're of a middling sort of age, that you will think on these things and be sure that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will have cause for rejoicing on Easter Sunday and every Sunday, because Jesus has died and Jesus has risen, and that Jesus Christ is your Lord.